Welcome to episode 27 of Seize Up Podcast. The young, surly, genius-fueled podcast for Celtics fans. I'm Dee Dee.
And I'm Olivia.
And we're here today to talk about the off-season and all of the drama contained within that.
All of the drama.
Oh, so much drama. But first of all, let's give you our contact information again. Our email is same as always, seizeuppodcast@gmail.com. That's seizeuppodcast@gmail.com. Twitter is @seizeuppodcast, spelled the same way, the correct way. And of course, you can hear this when it's posted to Olivia's wonderful blog, iamcausewaystreet.tumblr.com, and we're also on iTunes as well. So first of all, let's get the bad news out of the way. Our illustrious GM traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to the Brooklyn Nets. And it was finally made official about a week. Was it a week? Has it been a week? It's been a week.
Feels like more.
Yes, it does. We need to get some violins up here under this segment. But so they're technically in Brooklyn now, but they will always be Celtics to me.
And to me.
I'm not going to call either one of them former Celtics because that just hurts too much.
Yeah.
Jackie McMullen had a great interview with them on ESPN Sports Center. A great two-part interview that we'll try to link to in the show notes. So I'm sure everybody's seen it already and cried and shaken their fist at Danny Ainge. Okay, that's just me that on the last part, but yeah, it was a great interview. Pierce is at that stage of his career where he's just saying what he wants. He's speaking his mind.
Why not?
Exactly. Pierce said he saw, you know, how Mark Cuban was talking about Dirk, saying we're never going to trade him. You know, and the Spurs are never trading Tim Duncan. Especially when he's balling like he is at 36 years old. But and the Lakers are never going to trade Kobe or amnesty him, even though it would be financially prudent and give them cap space. But, yeah, they're never going to do that. Meanwhile, Paul sits and hears that every year, and he's in trade rumors. And he just said that, and I was like, wow. It's true.
Yeah.
He's done so much for this franchise. And, I mean, even last year he did so much for this franchise. And did not get the respect he deserved from management.
Yeah, and like we've talked about before, establishing loyalty with your franchise players is probably something you want to do if you're not a very popular location for free agents. You know, if you can't offer a great location or a glitzy location, you want to offer a place where you can build a legacy and where you will be maybe for the rest of your career. I mean, that's even what Jason Terry said last year when he chose to sign with Boston. Part of it was the money, of course, but another part of it was that he could see himself retiring with Paul Pierce, who at the time was projected to be a lifetime Celtic, and KG, who was an adopted Celtic, if there ever was one. And I'm not saying it was, you know, the best thing for the franchise's financial situation, but maybe they should have thought about that and planned for that, you know, years in advance. The way that the Spurs have built around Tim Duncan for how long has it been now? 15 years?
Yeah.
And it seems like Rondo is going to be going through the same situation that Paul went through for most of his career. Rondo's nearing 8, 9 years in the league, and he still isn't treated like the most important player at that for the Celtics for their future. It still doesn't seem like they're building around him.
Yeah,
it's like he's just temporary, and once a good enough deal comes along, he's going to be traded. So I guess, you know, draft picks, that's one way to build a franchise. But when you need those missing pieces in free agents, you want to be able to offer them something that will draw them away from Miami, New York, Brooklyn, Los Angeles. So that is one part of it. And one part of it is just really sad to see Paul and Kevin go, because for me, you know, that's what I'll always associate my earliest Celtics memories with, or with those two just being goofy, best friends, incredibly talented, coming through again and again.
Elite trolls.
Yes. Elite trolls.
They troll at a high level. High, high level. Their troll and purr would be through the roof. Just saying.
Exactly.
And now they're going to be in some other uniform.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll be missed.
Yes. Dearly, dearly missed. KG sees Jason Kidd as a friend first and says he'll have to adjust to him as a coach. Pierce kind of backed up KG's statement and says that he respects Jason as a player and says, you know, the whole league respects him as a player, respects how smart he was on the court as a point guard. So, and then part two is when the waterworks really start up for me. Because Jackie just had to go there and talk about the guy they were leaving behind. And KG just says, Dodo. And that's when I lose it. Oh, anyway. And he says, you know, I may have lost a teammate, but I have a friend for life.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if KG has a whole bunch of friends in the league. Well, he might have more than other players, but, but yeah, for him to count one of the surliest and, you know, one of the surliest players in the league.
Yeah.
The one that everybody complains about as far as attitude. Says something about the dude. So.
It's like Big Baby said, Rondo is a stone cold killer trained by Kevin Garnett. For everything that KG has given to the league, Rondo may be one of his greatest contributions. And I'm sure Paul trained him in the art of trolling.
Yes.
There is no better teacher for
So,
trolling than Paul Pierce.
some of those passes that he throws. I mean, that behind the back ball fake. That's a troll move.
Yeah.
That's an I am smarter than you, I am better than you move, and watch me show you as I glide to the cup for two. I mean, that's high level trolling right there. Just that move. Ah.
Does it all with a blank stare?
Oh my gosh. But yeah, we'll have to link to that interview. And Paul has been a class act about this all the way. He had a slideshow on, or a whole bunch of pictures on Instagram of his favorite Boston moments. And he's just been just classy all the way through. He's just been wonderful about it. He's, wow. Hopefully there'll be some way to get him back in green and white in some capacity. Whether it's in management or in broadcasting or something.
It's where he belongs.
I need to hear that laugh.
Yeah. That raspy voice.
I love it. It's God, it's hilarious. Oh. So, in a little bit happier news, new coach Brad Stevens visited his all-star point guard at his camp a few weeks ago and got to speak to him about basketball. And gosh, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall during those conversations. Two basketball geeks geeking out about basketball. That would have been awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I would pay. Everybody was so worried. Oh, how's Brad Stevens gonna handle Rondo? All this other stuff, like, you know, Rondo's gonna, you know, be violent or something toward him or something. I don't know what was going on in people's minds, but every other question ever since Stevens was hired has been, how are you going to deal with Rondo? And they seem to be dealing with each other just fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Rondo's pretty terrifying at his Camp Rondo
for kids in his hometown.
Where he's telling them he'll never play for the Miami Heat. He's giving the people what they want.
Yes, he is. And all I want to say is, I mean, when your GM is Danny Ainge, you can never make blanket statements like that. It's just, you can't. Because Danny hears that and he's like, oh, really? Blockbuster trade, Chalmers for Rondo. But think about it. I mean, he probably says that because he really doesn't want to be over there, because he wouldn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
I mean, the main distributor is the power forward. So
he's gotta get in line.
Yeah. And yeah, he would be bored. He would be so bored in Miami.
I'm pretty excited. I mean, I know it's pretty bleak right now, but Sully and Kelly Olynyk both seem genuinely excited to be playing with Rondo. And last season, Sully seemed so just delighted to receive some of those passes. Like, wow, I get to play with this guy. He gets to set me up. And so whatever this team's record is, I know that those two at least will be excited to play alongside Rondo. And Coach Stevens is a very open Rondo fan. I mean, he was practically gushing with some of the quotes that I read where he's talking about Rondo. So it seems like everyone's team Rondo.
Yep. And all I have to say to that is get in line. Line.
You were here first.
So, just kidding. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that'll say, nope, it's behind me. But anyway, get in line.
But Rhonda listens to this podcast.
Exactly. She's up. Team Rhonda. but yeah, I think Kelly and Sully and Jeff Green,
yep,
will be glad to see Rondo back on the court, and Avery
will be so relieved.
My goodness, he'll be so glad to go back to two guard. You just don't know. But the question is he going to be ready opening night, or is he going to sit out half the year, or what's going to happen?
Well, there's no rush. I'll say that.
Yeah, Paul told him not to rush.
Yeah.
It's not like it's in your best interest to win a lot of games. But we've been getting conflicting reports. I mean, everybody... Around the Celtics organization has been saying he's gonna be ready opening night, and then everybody else says if you really want a high draft pick, you might as well sit him out at least half the year, not the whole year. So, but you have to think about the Celtics organization. They're still trying to sell tickets. They want to rebuild, yes, but they still need to put butts in seats, you know?
Yeah.
And with Paul and KG in Brooklyn, the only name they have to get people excited about is number 9. So, yeah.
That must be why they're pushing the... he'll be there opening night story.
Yeah. And don't do that. And then October, November, we find out he's going to sit out half the year. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that, Danny. We know you lie about everything else. Don't lie about it. Please.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they have to sell tickets. And they don't have to send a message of tanking. The fact is it's a new era. It's going to be some rough parts before we get to the good stuff, just like the last era. But hopefully it doesn't last 22 years before we win another championship.
Ooh, good grief.
Yeah, so. But don't rush Rondo. Please. I can see him trying to get back early, too. So I don't think he'll be able to sit out the whole season.
Nah, he's probably going to be itching to play.
Yeah.
And as much as I love playoff Rondo, when he just loses it and just starts playing like some transcendent basketball... If it means saving his health, I will forego the enjoyment of playoff Rondo another year.
Yeah. Just slip down a YouTube spiral. That's what I do.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So there's that. So Speaking of tanking, Paul Flannery had a great article on SB Nation about the difference between tanking and rebuilding, and how the different ways that the Celtics and the 76ers are doing it. He made the point that tanking gives the fans a terrible product to watch, many of whom are paying to watch it. And when you're tanking, that means you're not playing, you're not developing players for the future, because you're sitting some of your best players that'll give you an opportunity to win, and you're just playing just anybody. And I don't know about you, but we saw enough of a terrible product last year. If you're a Celtics fan, don't put us through that again.
Yeah. There are a lot of likable young players on this team, so there's really no need to sit them for the sake of tanking.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got a whole bunch of rookies or people with just 2 or 3 years in the league. You got a new coach who's never coached an NBA team before. I mean, there's a whole lot of lost games right there.
that works itself out.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, we don't need to worry about losing games. There's going to be some games lost. But hopefully they'll be fun to watch while they're losing. Seize up. And you know, at the end of it, hopefully they'll have lots of trade picks. I mean, they've already got a lot of them. 4 future first rounders in the next 5 years. They've got a trade exception from Paul. And they're hopefully clearing cap space because, you know, please believe these are not the last moves that Danny's making this year.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. You know, Trader Dan has his trader hat on and he's not taking it off. When's the trade deadline? Nobody's safe till after the trade deadline. So maybe after the All-Star break, you can feel safe about
until the off-season.
Exactly. Celtics fans, they know the routine. I expect Ainge to continue to clear cap space and try to get vet minimum players or rookies or people on rookie contracts. Who knows what may happen to Rondo? Please just send him to Indiana if you're going to send him anywhere. Don't send him out west unless it's Houston. Just send him to Indiana if you have to trade him. Anyway.
I'd like that.
They're going to be clearing cap space because there's still a few bad contracts. I mean, they picked up a few bad contracts in the Brooklyn trade. Crash. They still have a few bad contracts on the books from last year. So, yeah, I expect Ainge to be working hard to get rid of those and have enough cap space to make some moves in the off season. Oh, yeah. Speaking of bad contracts, Kris Humphries is a Celtic. Olivia's commentary.
Yeah, no comment, really.
Pretty much. I'm saying, in while you're here, the half season that you're here in Boston, Kris Humphries, just catch the passes. And don't be mad if your point guard out rebounds you.
Yeah, don't look at him. Don't talk to him.
Just catch the passes. And don't fight him for boards. Just don't try to fight him. 'Cause we know who'll win. It's Shorty. So there's that. And once again, there's still a logjam at the two guard. Daniel, he loves him some shooting guards.
Kindred spirits.
Boy. But you found some, you heard some great things when Coach Brad Stevens was on WEEI, right?
Yeah, he's getting settled in Boston and he's already seen a lot of Avery and loves Avery's work ethic like we all do. He sees Sully a lot. Sully's recovering. I don't think Sully has done any contact drills yet, but he's still rehabbing, working hard. And apparently, Stevens sees him on a daily basis. So that's pretty cool. And he liked what he saw from Kelly Olynyk, like we all did, at the Summer League. And Kelly was ranked second overall in SB Nation's top rookies from the Summer League. That was impressive and unexpected.
Yay.
And like we've discussed earlier, he's excited to work with Rondo. He's not apprehensive or scared. He recognizes that Rondo is a hard worker. Rondo's working on recovering. And Stevens considers himself a player's coach, as someone who wants his players to make to feel like their opinions are valued and they are contributing to the team's plan, the team's goals. And so I expect him to have a great working relationship with Rondo as of right now. Honestly, if anything goes wrong, it could just be frustration from making the adjustment from college to the pros, not anything that has to do with Rondo. So because, Rondo is an adult, a mature adult.
He's a grown
Except,
man.
yeah, it's not a child. But anyways, guess
But
you realize that.
yeah. But that doesn't matter. They'll spin it. The press will spin it so that it's all Rhonda's fault because he's not a good leader. And he has
Yeah.
a bad attitude. And he doesn't play well with the press. Which is the root of all the other stuff that they say about him.
Yeah.
Anyway, save that for a Celtics rant. And Coach Stevens has added Ron Adams to his coaching staff, who used to be Tom Thibodeau's lead assistant in Chicago. So that'll make up for the NBA experience that Stevens does not have. So that's a good hire right there.
Yeah. And Chicago once again. Being a
Dropping the
little too
ball.
frugal, probably.
Dropping the ball. Dropping the ball. I mean, at least they re-upped Tibbs' contract.
Yeah.
But Nate Robb is gone to Denver. Who else? I mean, they still have Jimmy Butler because he's on a rookie contract.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see what that team looks like. It should be interesting. And we'll talk about the Bulls more when we do our conference coverage later on in the show. But now we're pretty much done with our news and notes. Now we can go to our free agency watch.
All right.
So, John Wall just signed a max contract from Washington for, I think, $80 million. So, Washington has christened John as their franchise player.
Wonder what that's like.
I really do. I wonder. You know. Wow. So there's that. This should be interesting when free agency in 2014-15 comes along. Bill Duffy's already making calls. I know he's got plans for that year. And one of his clients in Boston is getting ready to buy a whole bunch of fun hats. That's all I'm going to say. So many fun hats. Russian winter hats. Panama Jack hat. I don't know. Whatever he was wearing in the Caymans. He's going to have a collection to die for. And that's all I got to say about that.
Thank you, John Wall.
Oh, and thank you, Detroit, for trading Brandon's with Milwaukee so that we don't have to hear any more reports about the Pistons wanting Rondo. So appreciate that. I don't know how Jennings helps you that much at point guard, but, you know, I don't have to worry about that. That's not my team. And we all know about Dwight going to Houston. So now they're considered an automatic contender, I guess, by most people. But remember when Dwight went to L.A. and everybody said they were going to the finals. I just say that to say, I mean.
Yeah, hey, not everybody can get a fantastic big and win a championship that season.
Nope. I can only think of one who's done it in this modern era.
So don't feel bad, Rockets.
That's okay. You know, give it time.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami got LeBron and they didn't win until the second year. Lockout year. That's okay. It'll be okay. So, I mean, they've got depth at center. They've got a great franchise shooting guard in James Harden. Now I'm trying to be polite about it, but the gaping hole is at point guard. Screw it. Screw being diplomatic. So people like Bun B, formerly of the Underground Kings, have been recruiting on Twitter. I'm like, dude, you better hope that Jeremy Lin is not following you. Talking about Rondo, join us.
Rondo's like, can you offer a max?
If Jeremy Lin's out here getting eight, and I'm just getting 11, better give me John
Yeah.
Wall money. I want.
Well, maybe Jeremy Lin's job just became easier if Dwight is healthy.
I mean, his job was already easier because James Harden dishes out just as many assists a night as he does.
Yeah.
So, and if all James has to do when he's not shooting is find a way to get the ball to Dwight, then yeah, I guess you could find a way to keep Jeremy since but yeah. But then it would be then you never know what Daryl Morey might do. He might trade Jeremy for somebody on a point guard on a rookie contract or somebody on a much lower contract.
Yeah, maybe somebody else will come along in the next 2 or 3 years. But
But
Rondo's after the max.
and I don't want to hear anything, any more debate about who's a franchise player and who's deserving of a max contract. John Wall got the max after being injured half the year. Just miss me with all the debate. Just let it pass me right on by. John Wall got the max. It's open season. Oh. There's Houston. Houston just got very interesting. The West is going to remain very interesting. But still may not win a championship very very soon. Bynum went to Cleveland. Still refuses to comb his hair or give a crap. But he says the Cavs will be a playoff team this year. We'll see. If he's healthy and if Varejao's healthy, they just might.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
Kyrie could.
considering the state of the Eastern Conference.
And if Kyrie can stop getting hurt, if
Yeah.
all three of them could stay healthy, and you get something from Dion Waiters, yeah, they might be able to do something. Might make some noise. Denver lost their GM and their coach and their swingman. Their starting defensive swingman in Andre Iguodala.
Their spark off the bench and Corey Brewer.
Wow. These are some key pieces that they
Yeah.
just go. They're executive of the year GM, no less. Anyway.
Their coach of the year.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, that was
I'd
one.
have a lot of questions if I were like,
If you were like Ty Lawson,
yeah.
I'd have so many questions if I was Ty Lawson. Poor Ty. So they lost all
Trade
those.
him to Houston. Sorry.
Ooh, you know what? You got something there.
I don't know if Houston can afford him.
That's true. He just got a 40 mil contract last year. It's something. I mean, but that's just about what Jeremy's making, right? So it could be a clean swap.
Ooh.
That's a good idea. You just really hit on something right there.
Why do I want Houston to do well again?
They're LA.
Yeah.
They're not either one of the LA teams.
Or that one in OKC. But that's
Yeah, the coach that keeps a 38-year-old point guard off coming off the bench, playing major minutes in the playoffs. Giving little production? Yeah. That one. Ooh, tangent. Anyway, but yes, Denver lost all those key pieces, but they keep Mozgov and they sign Nate Robinson. So, I mean, they were one of my league pass faves last year. I think I'll still keep an eye on them. They should still be kind of fun to watch, but certainly not as fun as they were last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what's going on over there in Denver.
I thought they were on the right track, but
Definitely. I mean, that was a really strong team last year. And just because of what happened in the playoffs, I mean, first of all, everybody that said Western Conference finals are bust were just laying way too many expectations on a team that had just been formed.
yeah.
Andre just signed last year. And it was, Kenneth Faried's second year. It was JaVale McGee's first full year. Was it his first full year with the Nuggets? Yeah. So.
Wilson Chandler's first year back.
So yeah, I don't know why they didn't give it another chance. Just you need to give maybe you need to give something like that time. But I mean, cause it seems like that's a team that would keep butts in seats at least. I mean, it's a fun team to watch going up and down the floor. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there.
It's disappointing.
It really, really, really is. But Indiana's probably going to be my second league pass fave from the East. They just got Luis Scola. Traded him for Gerald Green and Miles Plumlee. So Indiana's bench is going to be really good.
Yeah.
And that's all they needed. I mean, they had a strong starting five when everybody was healthy. So what they needed was a good bench to keep things going while the starters rest. So And that's what they're working on. So I'm rooting for Indiana to do big things this year.
It becomes even more interesting now that the Heat have signed Greg Oden,
True.
if Greg Oden can contribute at all.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he can. I'm rooting for him. Not rooting for the Heat, but it definitely, I bet they upped the ante a little bit. The Heat did after they saw that the Pacers signed Luis Scola or traded for Luis Scola, so that could be good.
Yep, because a team that already has size that goes and gets more size.
Yeah. And hey, Luis isn't afraid to throw a few elbows.
Neither is Birdman, so they should get right along. And
Yeah.
Are both the Hansbrough still in Indiana? Or did one of them get traded?
Tyler's gone.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't know where he went, but he's gone.
Wow. His job was to go and irritate the other team and get off their game, and he was good at his job. But I guess they don't want that anymore, huh? Oh well. That's good. That's interesting. But they
Yeah.
keep the other hands, bro, huh?
For now.
There's too many hands, bros, in the NBA. Anyway. So, yeah, Indiana's looking like they're going to be s at least the second best team in the East again. So we'll see what happens. I'm really rooting for them.
Yeah, I'm rooting for a change up of any sort.
Exactly. 'Cause we don't need to hear two-time NBA champion Chris Birdman Anderson ever. We don't need to need that. Nobody. If you love the NBA, you need to not make that happen. Looking at all these moves, got Olivia and I thinking about the state of the Western and the Eastern conferences. For some reason, the West stays stacked. There's at least four or five teams that are legit contenders for a championship. When we were going over it, and we thought, of course you've got to consider San Antonio. They were in the finals last year, and they haven't made drastic changes to their lineup. So they gave Tiago Splitter a $10 million a year contract. Got any comments on that, Olivia?
Nope.
I've got comments, but they're explicit. The Memphis, they lost their coach. They got a new coach. They
Signed Tony Allen.
re-signed Tony Allen, which is good for everybody. Tony Allen, first team all defense, expletive. Of course, and they've still got Mark and Mike and Zach, and Lord help me, they've still got Jared Bayless. They still got Jared Bayless, right?
I think so.
Still got Quincy Pondexter. So they're still pretty strong, and they're probably going to add some more shooters because Lord knows they need that. And but they're still going to be a pretty strong team as long as they've got those four people. They've still got Mike and Tony and Mark and Zebo. They're gonna be a top team in the West. They just need a bench and more shooting. That other LA team is probably gonna be a top team. I heard they got a new coach.
Heard he's pretty good.
Media pretty much liked him in his last spot. They, with that move, with the new coach coming in, they managed to re-sign their point guard for a max con for 5 years. So, good for Donald Sterling. And This is why we're rooting for Houston. Who, you know, with the addition of Dwight Howard, and they've still got a very solid backup in Omer Asik, unless he gets traded elsewhere. Come to Boston. Then Houston is going to be a very, very strong team. And Patrick Beverley will get a chance to develop and improve. And so go Houston. Let's knock some of these other folks out, except for Memphis. OKC is probably going to still be good, especially once Russell Westbrook gets healthy and is able to play again. I don't know. I haven't heard when they think he'll be able to start playing. I don't know if he had a partial tear or a full ACL tear or what. Yeah, once Russell and Kevin get back on the court together, it should be good.
And then, well, they didn't lose Kevin Martin.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes he shot well and sometimes he didn't.
Yeah.
He just never really knew. And then, so that's at least five teams right there in the West. And then we have a wild card in Golden State, who just got Andre Iguodala.
And if they can stay healthy, they'll be there.
I mean, their defense just got a whole bunch better. And they already, so, and hopefully if Andre continues to work on his shooting, he can contribute on that end as well. So you've got five, six teams, if you count Golden State, in the West that can really make some noise in the playoffs, and at least four or five of those can contend for a championship. And then on the bubble, we have Denver and Minnesota, Portland, and the Pelicans of New Orleans. Wow. So the West is going to stay as interesting and compelling as it always has been. In the East. Oh, the East. We have the defending champs. There's Indiana, Chicago, once Derrick Rose gets back. Brooklyn. And Atlanta and New York. And some of those I feel shaky about. It's not as certain as the top teams in the West, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they'll just be there by default because there aren't any other teams. Picture, so.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen in Chicago. I don't know. It depends on how Lou is doing. What's up with Lou, all? And really, if Derrick Rose is going to come back, what I really need Lou all to do is just sit this year out. Lou. Your coach was trying to play you after a spinal tap.
Just, or you could have died.
Sit this year out, Lou. Lou.
Yeah, I'm afraid that, you know, the playoff series that they went through, I'm afraid that some of them might be permanently damaged.
Yeah, I'm afraid as much I have so much respect for Coach Thibodeau, I really, really do. He's a defensive genius. But I worry that he might have almost let me not libel myself or let me not libel anybody, but or slander anybody. Just sit the year out, Lou. Is your life. This is your life. This might be a contract year, but dude, your life is more important than your next contract.
Yeah.
And your coach is trying to kill you. I'm sorry.
Know, that's something that KG would say when Thibodeau was still an assistant coach at Boston. Like, there would be things that he would say to Kevin or expect out of Kevin that helped KG realize, wow, he's never actually played in the NBA. He doesn't know what it takes out of your body. And so he really is a genius, but I'm not sure if he understands some of the things that his players go through.
Yeah.
Even if you have Nate Robinson right there on the bench throwing up, or Lou in the hospital can't sit up.
Complications from a spinal tap. Jesus. Just sit out. Just sit out. Get your wrist surgery and just sit the year out. So, Chicago, I still don't know what will happen with them. Yeah. So, and then for the East, teams on the bubble, I see Washington. They might sneak their way into the playoffs this year. Detroit added Paul Millsap and Josh Smith.
Of the Hawks that added Paul Millsap.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, the Hawks added Paul Millsap, and they extended Jeff Teague's contract, and they still have Big Al.
Yeah, go Big Al.
They can build around Al since they won't trade him to some place that could use him, like Boston. Darn it. So maybe they will build around him and I just need y'all to let Al just feast in the post. That's all I need y'all to do.
Let him thrive.
Just, yes. Let him feast all up in the post area, in the painted area. That's his home. It's good to him. So yes, Washington just drafted Otto Porter. They just gave John Wall a max contract. Bradley Beal's going to be back healthy. They still have Nene. Hopefully he'll be healthy this year. They have the makings to be really interesting this year, and that'll be great. That'll be great because I'm in the DC area, and it'll be great to have a fun basketball team to talk about.
Yeah.
Even though nobody will talk about them because they aren't the football team. Anyway,
I'm rooting for him. I like John Wall.
Detroit added Josh Smith. They just got Brandon Jennings from Milwaukee. They still have his name Drummond, Andre Drummond. And Greg Monroe. They have a wealth of big men. They need to share. And Milwaukee was a playoff team last year. They may well be again. We'll see what happens. They have a wealth of big men as well. They've got
They
edge.
sure do.
They have three centers. They could afford to share as well. We spoke about Cleveland before. They just added Andrew Bynum. And one of the Zellers, I think. I can't keep all these moves right in my head. And then on the bubble of the bubble, on the bubble's bubble, are our beloved Boston Celtics. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with them. So that's kind of our East and West overview. So now we turn to Olivia for our WNBA report.
Alrighty. So, about 2 weeks ago was the WNBA All-Star Game. And the most exciting part about it for me was to see Candace Parker win All-Star MVP. This was her first All-Star Game, even though she's been in the league for a few years. She hasn't been able to attend in the past, either because of the Olympics or because of an injury. So she won All-Star MVP. She set a scoring record for a single game with 23 points. And she is definitely leading the MVP race. And her Los Angeles Sparks look like legitimate title contenders. The only people that stand in their way to me are the Minnesota Lynx. But also in the All-Star game, it was a really fun farewell to Tina Thompson, who has been in the NBA, WNBA every year of its existence, and she is retiring this year. She's the all-time leading scorer. She's a fantastic person and a great player. And it was cool to see the crowd show her respect and to see Brittney Griner making her stand and accept the applause, even though she's shy and doesn't want to stand in front of the crowd. And I think the third thing that I liked the most was spunky point guard and shooting guard Ivory Latta and Shabonte Zelus video bombing everyone and throwing towels on people's heads. They might be my favorite players in the WNBA right now, aside from Tamika Catchings, of course. But that was really exciting. And now we've only got a few more weeks until the playoffs start. And if you haven't been watching, the WNBA playoffs are really exciting, and that's where I started really falling in love with the league last year. I know we both got swept up in the Indiana Fever. And your Mystics.
My Mystics.
Playoff picture. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah, might as well. The last game I saw was the other night where they got thrashed by the New York Liberty on their home court. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a few weeks ago where they beat the San Antonio Silver Stars in San Antonio. It was good. I'm still talking about that because they really should not have lost to the Liberty the other night. New York
No.
made way too many turnovers, and I'm getting mad just thinking about it. But you got beat at home by a team that turned the ball over so many times, and they had so many times to take that lead. They just couldn't shoot. They couldn't shoot. They couldn't shoot worth a darn the other night, and yeah, they should have won that. They should have been leading that game all through the second half. But anyway, they beat the Silver Stars, and that was a really good game. They were 500 the last time I checked. Might be different. I think they had a. Did they play today? Think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm scared to look. But they're doing all right. They're a lot better than they were last year, where they were at when they were at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Right now they're looking like they could be in playoff contention, although they just lost to the Sparks. Crap. by a colossal amount. And they're a lot better than they were last year, and that's all I can ask for right now. Hopefully they'll make a little run and still make it to the playoffs, because we're not winning in the lottery.
How do you
it may
keep
not
going?
Be. Look at us. We'll be fine.